Right now, it is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It's time for Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics, sports, and more, bringing many years of experience to those subjects and more. Good morning, Mr. Lynch.
And good morning, sir. How are you?
I am fine, and I guess this is a morning where I will lead off with you once again to explain to the greater population who has no idea about the stock market. They only have an idea about what they see on TV or hear the politicians say, what you really read into figures from the stock market with the wild swings up and down, and how important it is to realize that the stock market as a whole is not a day-to-day indicator, but it is a day-to-day indicator on how certain people things are being handled in the country, and it is not for the faint of heart or the weak of stamina.
And while you're laughing,
I thought that was very poetic.
I did too. The weak of stamina. And before you answer, the thing is, the most successful, I think, mental massage that has occurred over time is that the market is a thing.
The market was what? I'm sorry.
The market's a thing. You know, the market is doing such and such. The market,
right.
It's not actually. It's a bunch of people.
Yeah. Well, let's begin this way. The stock market since 2009, March of 2009, has risen from about 8,000-9,000 to 29,000. A phenomenal move based on us coming out of a tremendous recessionary, almost depressionary kind of problem from the real estate situation in 2008. So the economy and the stock market for all that time, 2009 to 2019, has been doing nothing but good things, going up, the economy was very good, and so forth. We were getting ready. We were in the process of probably beginning a slowing and possible some sort of recession as we come into 2020. Just theoretically, because these things work on a timeline and they can't go on forever. Up or down, they can't go up forever. So coming into this year, we were hit with a bit of a recession. The numbers were coming off. Employment was very good. And then all of a sudden, we discovered we had a virus going around the world. And it upset people because they felt immediately this would force us into a recession. And so they sold their investments. The market is only a product of people buying and selling stock for investment purposes or for taking profits. So the net result, people became extremely nervous. They had huge gains in their portfolios or in their funds, and they started selling. Subsequently, the Russians and the Saudis began a fight over the price of oil. The Saudis wanted to cut production. The Russians didn't agree. And so we've entered in the last couple of days into a war between these two on the price of oil. One wants it way down so it can sell a lot, and one wants to hold the line. So that's where we are now. The coronavirus, as the news spread in the last month or so, basically had taken the stock market down from about 29,000 to 23,000, which is a huge, huge move within a 2-3 week period of time. We've had some days where the market has come back based on short covering. What people do sometimes when they think the market's going down is they will sell a stock they don't own. They borrow the stock to deliver to the person they sell it to, and they hope it goes down. So over the last week or so, you've seen rallies of 1,000 points a day, 500 points a day. And that was these people covering shorts. The next day, it would go down 750 points. Now, currently, we're going to rally today at least 500 to 1,000 points on short covering. This is after the market was down 2,000 points yesterday.
You bet. So can you just...
Where you're up to date, but to give you a little insight, the oil stocks were off about 12% in about a day and a half. Go ahead, Jill. Sorry.
Just define short covering, please.
Short covering. Jill is bearish on the stock market. Jill is bearish on the economy. Jill sees certain stocks, like oil stocks, which are going to suffer in a poor economy as people drive less, use less fuel, etc. So Jill selects a given stock and says, okay, I'm going to sell that at $70 because I think it's going to go to $45. Jill doesn't own the stock, but she wants to sell it. Therefore, Jill has to borrow the stock. She borrows it from a brokerage firm and pays a stipend for that. She delivers the stock to whoever she sold the stock to, and if it goes to 45 or 50, she will then go in the open market, and she'll cover her short, it's called. That is what short selling is.
So and that's why the market will move spikily. In other words, it will go down, but then it will go up, and much of it is to accommodate those borrowed shares, essentially.
Right. Now, as you'll see, if you look just on the chart of the last 2 weeks, you'll see how it goes. In a bear market, which we're in now, in other words, the trend is generally down for the foreseeable future. You'll see yesterday it was down 2,000 points, which is a huge loss. Well, overnight, people were buying financial futures, the indexes against stocks, and the stock market's due to open up at least 500 to 750 points because of that buying. And now probably you'll see it buying today and possibly tomorrow, and then it'll probably fade the next day. The reason it's rallying today, supposedly, is because the Trump administration had a news conference yesterday where they said they were going to cut the payroll tax to try and help people who are going to probably suffer or are suffering in this economic decline. Now, that's not official. They're also thinking of subsidizing individuals and small corporations. The plans have not been defined. These things take time to work out. And I don't really think that in the short term they're going to be very effective. People want to hold on to their money, particularly people who don't have much money, don't have any money, or are on salaries that are not that significant. They want to hold as much money in savings as they can to get through whatever the future holds, which people don't know regarding the virus and what's going on all over the world.
Now, what I want to come in here for is I did something which I never do, but I did turn on the TV to watch the president speak. And here's my feeling. And it was even more, it was an instant feeling when I heard the president speak, but then it became even more rock solid after I found out that Mnuchin was at that conference. I thought the president did a huge disservice by only addressing himself how he was going to deal basically with the stock market and with the finances with this tax cut and things like that. I thought it was inappropriate. I thought he should have led by introducing all the experts were there to talk about the virus and how the plans that were going on and the tests that were going to be out there. And then after that was over, then bring in Mnuchin and have Mnuchin say, and by the way, on a second front, this is what we're going to do. I think it puts more power in the president to make people. The president's there to make the country feel better and feel stronger about things. And I just think, I think his staff let him down by having him do what he did. I think that it would have been far better for him to come out, introduce the experts, let them speak, then let Mike Pence speak, then come back on and introduce Mnuchin and have Mnuchin.
Have you seen any of the other press conferences?
What?
Have you seen any of the other points?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I just think it's something that the country needs. And did it work for the short term? Probably. But still, I think the country needs something a little stronger and a little better than that out of the President of the United States.
You know who I am loving is the Surgeon General. I think he's adorable.
But
I agree with you, Marshall. You're absolutely right. But I will have to say very simply, President Trump is all about President Trump. And he thinks it's a big show. And he thinks he's the actor, the actress, the director, the one who gives the cues and so forth. And he just cannot help himself. He is... he's lost in his own
private Idaho is what you're looking for.
It's really pathetic. By the way, you know, this coronavirus is extremely serious. And yet, the President of the United States, the president of 360 million people, for the first week, was, oh, it's not that bad, and this and that. I mean, it was crazy. He had to admit he didn't know what the flu was. And then all of a sudden he starts saying, well, you know, look, all the people who died from flu, and it's not so bad. This damn thing hasn't even started yet, and he doesn't... He's been terrible in this. Part of the market's decline, frankly, part of, you could never figure out a percentage of it, has been his ineptitude, his lack of leadership, and his basically unknowing of the basic facts of the problem. He was constantly contradicting in the beginning the experts on the virus. And, you know, he's a showman. And, you know, I certainly hope the people who voted for him have finally awakened to this man. He cannot, the word is govern. Being a president means you're governing a country. He doesn't know that. He thinks he's an actor. And he thinks he's the head guy, and he's this, and he's that.
Well, yeah,
you know.
Well, when you combine, here's, and I'm not only going to place the blame on President Trump for this, but when you combine a media that also a mainstream media that wants to play and wants to get ratings, and they, you know, what people, I see so many people on social media say that the coronavirus is nothing. Some person put a picture up of the coronavirus, a drug that's for animals that's been out for years. Well, this is the stupidity of social media and really of the mainstream media. People don't realize that, yes, but there's like the flu. There's different strains of the flu that come out every year.
Yeah, there's different
strains of the coronavirus. There's new strains. There's things like that. But the media then hops on all the wrong things. Jill and I were talking about this just the other day. Between social media and the mainstream media, instead of putting out reasonable news stories about how countries are shutting down the transmission of the virus by doing what they're doing and having to try to slow things down, we just keep pounded with these inane social media quotes from different people and panic spreads. Now, Jill, you can chime in.
All I was going to say is Marshall said yesterday, I've got a bunch of things to say, but Marshall said at the end of the day yesterday, if we had shut, you know, if at the beginning we had shut, we had stopped travel the way that we did at 9/11, that would have been, you know, effective. And I said, yes, but you never would have gotten away with it because people just don't, you know, because people don't get it. It's the same reason, you know, Corona beer sales are down 40%. Not south of the border, I'm happy to report, because it's a completely different thing going on there. But it's, I mean, people have, no thanks to the media and no thanks to the, I don't know, Jim, if you ever watched your local stations, but everyone here at least has their very own coronavirus outbreak, burbly thing that took graphic. And I think the best example is there's a primary going on in six states, and it shows you how rabid media gets about it, because you're not hearing very much. It's just like that's an afterthought. It's like Biden's essentially got the nomination, yawn, and we're all going to deal with coronavirus in various different ways, because that's the only thing that's happening on the planet. And I don't think people's minds were originally made like that. And I don't think you're telling people what they should do and how they can responsibly respond.
I just, Jim, when you look at this, and I still sit in amazement. I was broadcasting football games, okay, when 9/11 happened. And I'll never forget that Saturday, the first Saturday afterwards, the Mountaineers, the Housatonic Mountaineers, were playing on the coast. And sitting out there and not hearing or seeing a single plane in the sky except for jet fighters from the U.S. Air Force. It was a chilling couple of week period. And I think that had China been a little more honest in the beginning, and all these travel bans put into effect earlier, we probably could have gotten a handle on this earlier. But the news doesn't focus on that. The news nowadays on social media, news is driven by social media, unfortunately, for a lot of different newspapers and mainstream media.
And the way it used to be driven by cable.
And it used to be, but it used to be driven by reporters with feet on the ground. You know, Jim, and it's just not that way anymore.
Well, it's a culture that has given over to the almighty buck, and eyeballs are key to the television business, and as a society, we've gotten ourselves hooked on technology, be it the phone or the Facebook or whatever. And our consciousnesses have been made vulnerable to just trying to take in all of the patter, the noise about, let's say, coronavirus or anything. And I think we've spoken on this generally on the show before about people being more circumspect in terms of what they take in. If you're watching a channel, for instance, or listen to the radio that is not satisfying your normal intelligence, then the simple thing is to shut it off. And if enough people shut it off, that eventually gets to advertisers and to the people who do these shows. But people are allowing this thing to come, and they don't discipline themselves, and therefore the media people feel, well, we've got those eyeballs, and that's all we need. In terms of the situation where we could have had it in hand, I want to reference the fact that several years ago, the Trump administration cut back on the CDC on its funding and on its personnel. And one key person who was eliminated in that process was an American representative working in China with Chinese scientists to find out the latest virus, what was happening, where was it. Now, why did we station somebody in China? China is a hotbed of the creation of a lot of these viruses. Why? It's such a big, diverse country, so much traveling, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that person doesn't exist there anymore as of a year or so ago. The Chinese are very, very reluctant to admit something's wrong in their country. And what happens, if we were there watching this thing go on, we would have been able to send back to home base, hear something that might be coming our way, and prep. And we probably would have had that information back in November of last year. Instead, it came here without any notice, or through travelers without any notice. So I think you folks should focus on the mismanagement of the CDC by the current administration when you go to pull the lever to vote. President of the United States is the guy in charge of governing the country. He's not the guy who is the entertainer-in-chief. And we better get that very clear in terms of this next election, because we have some significant issues that are going to come up because of the tremendous cuts by this administration in the area of pollution. And I don't know, because we're probably getting close to the end here. There was a great three-man presentation on television, and then a rally in Westerville, Ohio. Kerry Schwarzenegger, the governor of Ohio, they are a three-man team now working on cutting pollution. They're independent of anybody. They've got a lot of people on their team. You're going to be hearing a lot about them. But a remark that Arnold Schwarzenegger made at this, it's on television, you can receive it. So I forget the station. He said, we lose 7 million people a year to pollution. Why aren't we doing something about our pollution problem?
All right,
I think we're close to the end, and here's the kicker. There's a sky map of China a month after they closed all of their factories and so forth. Their pollution was down by 25% in the air. You can see it.
Yep. All right. We're out of time.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll be out of pollution soon.
All right, Jim.
Thank you.
God bless you. Take care of yourself.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.